This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's hour number two of the program. Welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompeiani here until 1 o'clock. And we have a lot to get into, as we do. Joel Nelson is behind the glass now, taking your phone calls. Call him at 412-928-9370. That's also the number of the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. Our show brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Virtual wallet, great app to have on your phone. PNC Bank, make today the day. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about in Greensburg. Also, ride in style with number one Cochran. Go one better. And you can use Expressway. You can do it online. You can do it in person at number one Cochran. So I'm going to get into the Penguins a little bit more. I mentioned in the first hour your thoughts about the Penguins and Bruins. The Bruins look like a team that should breeze through based on what they've done in the regular season, but we all know sometimes the regular season is not a good indication of what happens in the postseason, especially when it's whittled down to a best-of-seven series. But they are 58-12-5. They have by far the best record. They have a very deep team. They added on at the trade deadline. They made some nice, I think Tyler Bertuzzi has fit in well. Garnett Hathaway, Dmitry Orlov, all those guys are veterans added to the group. We'll see what happens today. I expect to see Jeremy Swayman in goal for them. I expect to see Tristan Jarry, which is the biggest key moving forward to them. A shutout performance by Jarry. He was back. He has to stay healthy. The last time they saw Boston, it was the injury that set Jarry back quite a bit in that Fenway Park outdoor game, and he's been on and off ever since. He needs to be not only healthy and playing every game down the stretch, and I would play him today and tomorrow. Sorry, I do. He has to be the guy, and if he goes into the playoffs healthy and playing well, I think this team could be positioned to make things difficult. I'll go that far. I'm not going to predict anything because it's hard to predict. How can you go against Boston, what they've done? But they could make it difficult, and that's a matchup that I'm sure the Bruins may not want right off the bat. So the Penguins, I'll say this about them, they miss a lot of guys on defense. They certainly, and I never thought I'd be saying this, they miss Marcus Patterson. He's been out. I don't know when he's going to get back. That's a loss. He's on injured reserve. I don't know what that means. Dmitry Kulikov is a guy they brought in at the deadline, and he hasn't really played much. He got injured. Nick Bonino got injured. But, you know, right now you got Dumoulin and Letang paired together. You have Joseph and Petrie. You have Friedman and Ruedel, and then who knows after that. But they need certainly to get – I never thought I'd say that, Joel. Marcus Patterson back in the lineup, the teacher's pet, as Joe Starkey likes to call him. But they need depth there. They certainly do. But they played a more responsible game the other night against Nashville. So that needs to continue. And tonight, while the Penguins play in the afternoon, Florida will play at night. They're 1 point behind the Penguins. They take on Columbus. The Islanders are 3 points ahead of them. And so – they have a game in hand on each. They got to make good this weekend. Two home games. They got to take advantage of it. And I think if they play, you know, they played the Bruins tough in two games. They really did. They lost 6-5 in overtime. They blew a lead in that first game, and then they lost in a very tightly played game at Fenway Park into Winter Classic. So big game today at 3 o'clock. It's on national TV. Let's go to the phone line. Steve in Baldwin is first up right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Steve, what's up?
Bob, I just wanted to make a comment about the scoring phenom from Iowa, about stopping her. Mm-hmm. The only thing I was thinking is if I was trying to, I'd put my best offensive player against her and see if that offensive player could draw her into foul trouble early in the game and get her out of the lineup a little bit. They did that last night. They got two fouls on her early, but she still stayed in and she was able to avoid going out. But that's the only way to stop her, I think, at this point, other than just tying her down with a rope.
Well, I mean, that might be the best option. You know, South Carolina is a team that is really a good rebounding team. And they missed some shots last night. Late in the game, one of the best rebounds that Iowa had was on a missed shot, and they got an offensive rebound. They didn't have many of those in that game. But I think you have to clamp down. You have to have the same approach as you would, you know, somebody like a Steph Curry in the NBA. Just you can't allow that person to shoot. She's too good. No matter where she shot one almost to the logo last night. I wouldn't advise that on anyone because I think it's a low percentage shot. But when you have confidence, as she does, and then she brings people out to her and she can dribble right by you, it's a tough matchup for anyone. And I don't know that LSU has the people to make that happen.
You just look at her arms and you figure, how can she shoot from so far out with such ease? You know, it seems like her arms are just like pencils out there. Mm-hmm. But she can shoot from far out. Like I said, the only way to stop her, I thought, was get her into foul trouble where you can get her out of the lineup. And for the Penguins, I did call in once before telling you that I thought that at one point where they should, when they get a two-point lead or a two-goal lead, rather, or go into the third period with a lead, they need to go to that left wing lockdown so that they can maintain that. And that's, I still say, if they were to do that, they could have had a few more wins. And a few wins at this point would count tremendously in the point standings. But I hope that they can do it.
Well, I mean, we saw that in Nashville game. That's what I was, Steve, very excited about, that they actually did it following a game where they fell apart twice against Detroit. And they've had that history this year of doing that. So, yeah, it's a big part of it. But thanks for the call. We'll find out today. It will be a very interesting game to watch. Starch is in the phone line right now from Butler. Hey, Starch, where'd you get that nickname?
Hey, Pump. Well, my last name's Starcher, so that's why.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Pump, always great to talk to you. Good luck to the Penguins. I mean, they've been such a tease this last month because they'll win a tough game, but then they'll go up to Detroit and get absolutely beflinkled. So it's so frustrating to watch, and I really do hope they sneak into the playoffs just to put some fear in these other teams. But I wanted to ask you actually about the Steelers, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
Did you think that Keanu Neal is an upgrade from Terrell Edmonds?
I think he has more ability back there than Terrell Edmonds, who, again, I thought was fine in the job he did. And I think people judged him the wrong way as a first-round pick, which he wasn't. They overdrafted him. And so the scenario was, well, he's a first-round pick. You look what he's doing. No big plays, no turnovers, no nothing. Okay, but he was a compliment to Minkah Fitzpatrick, and sometimes you need guys who can do that. I don't think anyone could do it like Ryan Clark did for Troy Polamalu, but I thought he was fine there. But they wanted maybe somebody who could make more. And the thing about Neal is he can move up. He can do a lot of stuff that Edmonds did last year as a linebacker if need be. And in their sub-package defense, which they play an awful lot, you need guys who are capable of moving around a little bit. So, it's a two-year deal. I have no problem with it, especially if it's a cost, prohibitive kind of thing. It won't cost them a lot to have him here.
Sure. No, I think he's a good player, and I think he still has some tread on the tire for sure. Hey, one last thing. You mentioned offensive line in the draft. What would you do if, let's say, our dream scenario comes true and you've got a big tackle there, maybe the guy from Ohio State, Paris Johnson? What if a really good defensive lineman is still there, like that Brian Brise from Clemson? Or if maybe Joey Porter Jr. is still on the board, which one of those do you take?
Tackle all day for me. I've not gone off that. I mean, believe that. I think you got to have depth there. They've brought in a bunch of guards, and I think they know they got lucky last year. A lot of guys did not get injured, and they need upgrades in the guard position, especially left. And I think as much as Dan Moore has worked his tail off as a fourth-round pick to do what he's done as a starter, it's difficult to maintain that level. I mean, he still has issues, and you got a quarterback that you need to protect. That's still a very big position for me, so I'm going to go there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Bob.
All right.
Have a great day.
Appreciate it, Starch. Always good to talk to you. Let's go to Fred in Uniontown, PA. What's up, Fred? How you doing?
Okay, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Hey, you're a golfer. I'd like to know what your take is on this. You know how most of the pros now put a line on their ball?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they put it down and they look at it and they adjust it a little bit, you know, then they'll look at it again and then they'll go up and take their coin, pick a coin up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you allowed to adjust the ball with your coin not on a green?
No, your coin has to be on the green.
Well, Scotty Scheffler in that match play last week didn't. He adjusted without his coin on the green.
I think you have to put your coin down, adjust it, and then pick your coin up. I don't know if there's a hard and fast rule with that, but I think that's how it's supposed to be done.
Yeah, well, like I say, he did it. He adjusted it. He looked at it, you know, then he did it again, and then he wanted to adjust it some after he picked the coin up.
Okay.
He adjusted it without his coin on a green.
So here's a question for you that someone had hit me up on Twitter. A guy named Ronnie asked me, so if you had your choice of Scottie Scheffler or the entire field at the Masters, say I'm a big field guy. There's too much talent out there. I would never take one person versus the field, would you?
Oh, no, no.
There's too many guys capable of winning, and there are too many talented people out there. So Scheffler is certainly capable, and he won it last year. So we'll see what he can do as a defending champ. It's very difficult to defend, but I'd still take the field, even if he plays well.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Fred. Thanks,
man. Okay, Bob.
You have a good day. Thank you. Vic is joining us right now on the South Side. What's up, Vic?
Bob, what's happening? Hey, man, you know what? My wife had never, ever, ever met a legend until she met you. About 3 or 4 years ago, we met you at Central Diner. But the other day, we went to a place with my uncle to visit. I don't know if you know this gentleman. His name is Herb Douglas. He's the oldest living Olympian from the University of Pittsburgh. He's 101 years old. He got the bronze medal at the Olympics. Man, I'm telling you, she was like in awe of you. But of this guy, man, you got to look this guy up. His name is Herbert Douglas. He's Gabby Douglas' great-grandfather. What do you know?
Oh, my. I had no idea. 101 years old. That's awesome.
And then check this out. His wife is in the same nursing home, and she's 102. And we got to meet Heather Like, the football coaches. We met Jeff Capel. And then guess who called him? Of all people. Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. I'm telling you, man, you guys are the living legends in Pittsburgh. You and him, my wife think you're like a radio god, man. She's going to be so mad that I talked to you.
Well, I'm glad I saw you at Central. It's one of my go-to places out there. So maybe I'll see you again, Vic.
Hey, man, well, have a great day, Bob. And keep up the TikToks, man. We love them. We watch them all the time.
I've kind of dropped that off a little bit, Vic. Thanks.
I know, but we go back and watch.
It takes too much time to do TikTok. I try, and it just takes too much time. I don't have the time to do it. But I appreciate the call, man. Wish you well. Let's go to Joe in Verona. Joe joins us on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Joe?
Good morning, Bob. Oh, no, I guess it's afternoon. A couple things quick. I listen to the Herd sometime. He's pretty knowledgeable.
I like Colin. Does a good job.
Yeah, and I have a couple things I'll say him real quick. And he said 2 weeks ago, which I knew was true, he says there's 8 teams in the majors that are triple-A clubs. He just went right out. We know the Pirates are one of them, and it's sad. But a couple things quick, Bob. Santana, he seems like a good guy, and I know he's an old-timer, and he's 37, and he batted .202 and .214 the last 2 years, so that's not too cool. And to see him batting cleanup Thursday, I just shook my head again and see the same old Pirates. And one more thing, I talked to you about 2 years ago about the antitrust laws, and, you know, they were made for entertainment and not business. Now, everything is big business now, and I can't understand why they're still getting away without paying taxes. Last year, a friend of mine Googled, Bob. Last year, each National Football League, after everything, Rooney made, or whoever's all the partners, made $312 million. And to make that kind of money and not pay taxes is a travesty. And it's sad the way our world is going. And just take those antitrust, help pay taxes like the rest of us. I pay more taxes than Rooney does. It's real sad, Bob.
Well, I don't know how I got to see evidence of all of this.
Check it out. But $312 million, these guys are...
Bottom line, antitrust laws are there.
It's on Google or whatever, and it's after everything.
I got you.
And I sure hope they get the Reynolds deal done and not BS with, opt out in 4 or 5 years. Give me a frickin' break. Be a man, honey. Be a man, please.
All right, Joe. We're due for a break. Thank you. Rich and Mark are coming up next. You know, business is business, but I would agree. Reynolds doing you a solid by giving you a lot of money back. His market value is worth more than what he's going to agree to here. So if it means an out, give him an out. I have no problem with that, and I think it should be two ways, to be honest with you. Or if that's the case, then do a four-year contract and make it worth more money. I don't know. Sooner or later, it'll get done, though. I got to believe that, if they're this close. 412-928-9370 is the number. Got a lot of people on Twitter asking about Masters predictions, so here you go. First of all, Tiger Woods is not officially in the field. I think he will be, but he's not going to win it. But it'd be good to have him there. With regard to, you know, favorites, I guess you'd have to look at Rahm as the favorite and Scheffler as the favorite. But at this point, I'm going to go with somebody who is due to win a major. And he's had success at the Masters, and it's time for him to win one. There are a lot of guys who can make that claim, I guess, because it's so many talented guys. But I'm going to go Patrick Cantlay is going to be my pick for now. I you know, what is today? Saturday, they don't play until Thursday. So I'm going to look deeper into it, but I'm leaning this way to Patrick Cantlay. That would be my pick for the Masters in 2023. It should be phenomenal. They've added a lot of yardage to that group, to that Augusta National, including number 13. If you look at my Twitter, at KD Pomp, you'll see what they did to when they deepened the tee box to the point where you really have to be very efficient with your drive off the tee. If it catches a branch, it could go into Rays Creek right by number 12 green. Anyway, our show is brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. Number one Cochran, ride in style and go one better with number one Cochran. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. Also, we have the Pirates in their lineup. Jason Mackey, who's in Cincinnati, he's been there all week. And he, of course, prior to that, was down in spring training the whole time. A totally different batting order for the Pirates today as they take on Cincinnati at 4 o'clock. Dan Zangrillo gets you started at 3 right here with the pregame show. Hayes leads off today, not Cruz. Hayes leads off, plays third. Brian Reynolds is second and left. Andrew McCutchen bats third. He's the designated hitter. Carlos Santana at first base hits cleanup. Connor Joe makes his debut in right field, batting fifth. O'Neill Cruz drops all the way down to sixth after he hit a home run of 425 feet and got a sac fly to win the game. And you're like, small ball, you know, Joe, a lot of people crave that. How they won the game the other day was Jiwon Bae on base, stole second. Austin Hedges bunted him to third, and a sac fly won it. So that's pretty much small ball in a nutshell. After Cruz at six, it's Rodolfo Castro with his debut at second base. Jiwon Bae is in the lineup again, but this time in center field. He takes the place of Jack Suwinski, who didn't look good in the opener. Bae bats eighth, and then Hedges will bat ninth. 412-928-9370. That's different than we saw the first time. Let's go to Rich in Crafton. Join us. He's been waiting patiently. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Bob, I got a couple of questions. I called Crowley about that new trade the Penguins did for Caulfield for the Swedish guy, and he wouldn't say nothing about it. And then my other question, this morning on the golf show, they were saying if you put a ball 100 feet from any hole on
100 feet
on the mat, or 100
yards?
Feet from it. Maybe I thought it was 100 feet.
Not feet. It has to be yards.
Could you par on any hole on the Masters?
You might be able to, but you're still going to shoot 95 to 100.
I still like when they play Oakmont when it doesn't rain and the greens are so darn fast.
I think the greens at Augusta, and I've played it, so I can tell you this, are better and faster than Oakmont. Not better. Oakmont's still the same. They're more undulated than you think at Augusta, and it's very difficult to score there unless you put the ball in the exact right place.
Okay.
Lots of false fronts, lots of false backs. Oakmont, by the way, is the most difficult golf course you'll ever play, I think, in the world. When they juice it up the way they do and the USGA gets involved for an open, it's going to be incredibly difficult.
My other question, what do you think of these golf courses that everybody's 15, 20, 25 under par? Do you think the courses are too easy or the guy's getting that good?
I think the ball's too juiced, and that's what they're going to probably try to, you know, go backwards on that a little bit. But, you know, these guys are in such great shape, and they can do it, and they hit the balls at lengths that almost make most of these courses indefensible. Unless you make the fairways really narrow with big rough and really incredibly fast greens, you're not going to be able to stop them.
What about that Swedish guy the Pens traded for? Is he any good?
I don't know. I know that he's 21 years old, and he has a big – he's one of these puck-moving kind of guys. I don't know. Beyond that, I don't. I've never – I'm not going to sit here and tell you I do because I don't, Rich. Well, I think Caulfield was not a very good draft pick, though. I'll say that.
Was he Jay Caulfield's kid? I'm just curious.
No, Jay has two daughters.
Well, thank you, Rich. Nice talking to you.
All right, you too. Mark in Fort Lauderdale joins us right now. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Bob. I hope you're doing well. It's a great day here in South Florida with the University of Miami and FAU in the Final Four. And one of the reasons UM's doing so well is Dan Radakovich, who grew up in Beaver County, a Pittsburgh guy. He's done an incredible job since he's coming from Clemson in the athletic director position at UM. But I want to talk a little Bucco baseball with you. I want to ask you a key question. I know everybody's talking about Brian Reynolds' contract, but during spring training, and Johnny Parada, who is a great baseball writer from your area, he wrote a good article that the Pirates, you're very fortunate. You have four great writers in that town. You have Jason Mackey, your fellow Point State Park alum, Kevin Gorman, and also Rob Beer Temple wrote an incredible article yesterday in The Athletic about Reynolds. But to get to the question you have in spring training, they renewed Cruz's contract at the minimum. And they did the same thing with Gerrit Cole, and it left a real bad taste in the clubhouse of over the years. Do you think that the Pirates at this point should take the position like a Ronald Acuna, a Juan DeFranco type contract, and sit down with Cruz's representatives and work out a 10-year deal and say, listen, we'll give you a lot of money, but you're going to give us a little discount. You're going to lock in here, and it would show a commitment to the fans. I think the team is really turning in the right direction from what I saw this spring, and I saw the ball club quite a bit, and I saw the farm system quite a bit. But I just want to know if you think that this is the time for them to sit down and make a long-term commitment to Cruz and to the fans.
If they did it, it would be fine. I don't think I would do it. I'd wait a little bit, Mark. I mean, I've only seen half a year from him. I know what his talent is. I know what his potential is. But maybe it's the jaded side in me because I've seen so many people with so-called potential and talent not work at this level, and sometimes it takes a while to reveal itself. So no I wouldn't do it right now. If he had a really good season right now, and if it cost me a little bit more because I waited, then so be it. I would eventually do it. I'm not doing it right now. I think there's time for that.
And I think the last thing I'll let you run, I know it's a busy day, but I'll tell you, I saw Edney Rodriguez both in major league camp and minor league camp this year and talked to like five scouts who think he's the most underrated player in this country.
21 years of age, he's one of the best. He had a home run last night, his first at bat at AAA. He should be up here right now. I can make a case that Swaggerty should be up here right now, that he should be up here right now, and there's probably a couple of other guys down there who probably could be here if it wasn't for some of these older guys they brought in. So those two specifically, they could have been on the roster right now. So that's good. They're knocking on the door.
Well, the talent's looking a lot better. Let's keep the fingers crossed. It's always great to talk to you. I really appreciate your work, and you're like fine wine. You're getting better with age.
I appreciate it, Mark, and that's an analogy I like. I like fine wine. Let's go to Andy in the car. I also like French martinis, though. That's become a thing that I like more than anything else. Andy, how are you?
Good. My question is this. You know, I have Dish Network, and I can't get the Pirates anymore because AT&T dropped them. But I see the AT&T's dropping the Pirates altogether. Is KDKA here in the talk?
No, that's not going to happen right now. You'll be able to watch them all year, I think. That nothing's going to change for now that you'll notice.
Yeah.
They're going to work on something so that, you know, in the summertime they should have some sort of announcement. But you won't. I know that we're interested in broadcasting some of the games if we have an opportunity down the road in some capacity, whether that's on CW or whatever, if they need be, and if there's going to be an arrangement there, yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Bob.
Yeah, thank you, Andy.
Have
appreciate
a great
it.
Day.
All right, do the same. Yeah, so your visual entertainment will be uninterrupted. It's not going to change for now, but they got to figure out a lot of things, and I think it takes time to come to that conclusion. So we will see what that means at 412-928-9370. So the Pirates today with that interesting lineup, and you're going to see Rich Hill today. So it lines up so that Rich Hill may be your opening day starter. He's going to pitch today, and I would imagine his turn, because after that, I think they're going to go with Velasquez. Then in Boston, Velasquez tomorrow, Contreras in Boston. Who am I missing? Is Brubaker in that mix? I don't know if they've announced it, but Brubaker should be in that mix. And then Keller, the final day of that, which would make Hill your opening day starter here on Friday next.
So Brubaker is starting on the 15-day IL, by the way. I'll just mention that.
Okay, so I missed that. All right, so he's not there. So it's going to go Velasquez tomorrow after Hill today. It would be Contreras in Boston. And then I don't know how that works. I got to look at it. I don't know. Did they announce that in any way?
According to Jason Mackey earlier today, Sunday is going to be Velasquez.
Okay.
Monday, Johan Oviedo.
Okay, so they're going to put Oviedo. That's good. He's, yep. I think he deserves an opportunity. Yes, that's another guy, absolutely. Luis Ortiz. He could be on this roster right now. He could be. He's that good, I think.
Contreras Tuesday, and then it cycles back to Keller Wednesday.
And so Hill will be the opening day starter.
You bet.
Here.
Yep, that's
okay.
It.
Okay. So that's what it looks like right now at 412-928-9370. Rolling right along and brought to you by PNC Bank, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, number one Cochran, all very much appreciated it for your sponsorship of the program. 412-928-9370 is the number. Very busy weekend in Pittsburgh sports. Let's find out what Ernesto has to say in McMurray, Pennsylvania. What's up, Ernie?
Mr. Pompeo, first of all, I'd just like to say thank you because the way you handle guests in Pittsburgh sports altogether, it comes through whenever they talk to you on the phone. Everyone has a ton of respect for you, and it's just nice to hear.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Ernesto.
Yes, sir. I think Omar Khan in free agency, he's done very well. And I think because of what he's done with free agent acquisition, he's put himself in a position to draft appropriately and not reach for any picks outside of left tackle. Maybe even though Dan Moore is not the best, he is serviceable.
I would agree with that. He's serviceable, but you got to do better than serviceable. And competition never is a bad thing. This is why they brought in two guards to compete with the guards they have right now. I never think that's a bad thing. Plus, depth is so important at that position, even though last year they got spoiled and that nobody got injured. So I would think that that would still be my number one priority. They totally changed around their inside linebacker, Ernesto, so they can do what they want there. If they find someone they really like, so be it. I still think they need to find another good wide receiver. Something tells me they're going to need more than what they have.
I kind of thought the same thing. And before free agency, if they reached on a wide receiver and those first like two picks were ultimately they're both first-round picks because Miami forfeited their pick, I was going to be anxious. But now I'm not really going to feel that crazy because outside of the first 3 to 4 tackles, there's nobody there that wows me. So if those guys are gone and they draft a receiver, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I guess I would be too, depending on who it is. But also, it wouldn't be my top thing. And if I was in position, because they have 3 of the top 49 picks, if I was in position to really have somebody that I looked at an offensive line who's available to me as they get to 11, 12 in the draft, they pick 17, I would be willing to flip the third-round pick at 49 to move up a few spots. I don't know if that would be enough. Some teams may want more than that. But if I can navigate my way moving up to get a guy like Skoronski, for example, or any of those guys, Paris, Campbell's another guy. If I could do that, I would do that if the price was right for that.
Would you package that second-round pick that's not our first second-round pick that we got for Claypool
no,
to move up?
I wouldn't do that. And to me, that would require me moving up a lot. If I felt the need to do it, maybe, but I don't think they're going to feel the need. I like that pick. They have a whole day to assess what's left and make the first pick the very next day. So I like that position. But the 49th pick is still very much a value pick, so I think you could use that and maybe something else, a fifth-round pick 2 years from now or a fourth-round pick next year. You know, that's only if the guy I want is there. And they may have, like you said, they could have a lot of different options there come to them, whatever it may be.
Their big board is actually probably pretty much a big board at this point, so I don't think that we're going to have to get crazy in any position that we take for those first 3 draft picks. And I know Omar Khan did it not drastically different because we did have a decent free agency last year, but he did it definitely different than what we're used to seeing as the quote-unquote Steeler way.
Yeah, I think they did a very good job. I think Andy Weidel is a guy who has his fingerprints on a lot of this as well. They work well together. And Ernesto, that's kind of that's how they do business. And if anyone expected it to be different, they're not going to go out and make the big time, $190 million offer. They're just not going to do that. They're going to rely on their draft first and foremost, and then use free agency as something that can help them. And, a lot of people don't like it that way. A lot of people like the new way of doing things. But the new way of doing things, like, for example, the Rams, when they just start trading people left and right and trading first round picks all over the place, You know, sometimes that could lead to where they are. Yeah, they won. And if you don't win, it's a big risk. But if you do win, you can justify it like they did. But their team's falling apart right now. I think the Rams are in trouble.
Really high highs and really low lows aren't worth it for me. I like the fact that the Steelers have a cohesive group for the last 20 years, basically, just that they've built through the draft. And it makes those contracts very manageable because 4 to 5 years, you have everybody locked up at a decent number.
No, I agree. And thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370 is the number. We have Andy in Peters Township joins us on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Andy?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I was in Greensburg very briefly yesterday, and I stopped at IROC Tap House. I was able to have a beer at the bar real fast and some chips and queso. That's a really nice place.
Oh, I'm glad you did it. And if I had known that, you should. Well, I don't know how I get in touch with you, but I would have told them you were coming. I think it's a great place to go, and it's easy access, so thanks.
Definitely. And then I just want just a Pirates comment. I'm so excited. These new rules, I think, are really, really awesome. And it's making the game go quicker. It's more offense. It's exciting. It's just, I'm really excited for this season.
Yeah, I like it too. But I'm going to ask you this because I brought this up. If you see a game end on one of those kinds of calls, like, for example, what happened with Alonso and the Mets, and he's taking his time getting back to first base, and McNeil is issued a strike. And how about if that's the third strike in the bottom of the ninth when you have the bases loaded or something?
Yeah,
do you
want
to see a game end like that?
No. But I think that's far and few between, though.
Yeah, but it may happen. I actually want to see it happen and see the response to it because I don't think that's the way you want it to end. But, yeah, its goal is to reduce the time of game, and so far that seems to have worked. And I think people will get used to it. They'll have to answer to it. And when you do that, you'll speed up things. Now, in a critical situation, Andy, when you got first and third in the bottom of the eighth inning and you got a big hitter up and you got to think about maybe it's a pinch hitter for somebody and you only have 20 seconds to figure out what you're doing and you have limited throws over the first base. I mean, all of this becomes more thought-provoking than it maybe should be at that point. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking my call. Go Pens. Thanks, Bob.
All right, Andy. Thanks. Yeah, Penguins big day today. You got Bruins. You got Flyers coming up tomorrow. Florida will take on Columbus later today. So, man, there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's an action-packed sports day for sure. And we also have, of course, the Final Four. And for that, I'm going to pick UConn, which has been the team I really like. I think Dan Hurley has been outstanding. I like them to beat Miami, although Miami can shoot lights out if they get hot, look out. And I'm going to go with a surprise and take FAU over San Diego State there. So FAU and UConn, a lot of letters. A lot of letters in the Final Two on Monday night. It'll be Jim Nance's final call this Saturday for the doubleheader, and then Sunday or Monday night, and that's it. And then his basketball calling will be over. He is moving over for Iron Eagle to take over there. He'll concentrate on the Masters, golf, and the NFL. And in my mind, nobody does it better than Jim Nance. And that's going to wind up our show here tonight. I want to tell you about Fan Weather, brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The sun is shining in spring. Time to get a great deal on Silverados, Colorado. Stop in online, Chevy.com. A shower, rumbles of thunder. Then you got cooler temperatures moving in. High today of 68, low tonight of 29, tomorrow's high of 50. So a lot of weather coming at you later today. And that's going to do it for the program here. First, Nate the Great, who left us, and now Joel Nelson. I'm Bob Pompeiani. Coming up next, it's BetQL. Countdown to tip-off right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.